My name is Grant Agajanian. Tonight, there will be a message. Be of good cheer. Probably the focal point of the series, the message that changed my life. Understanding of the cross of Jesus, what took place on the cross. Most Christians today do not understand the power of the cross. How many of you like stories? Shall we include the stories or take them out? Include the stories. On one of the mission trips to the country of Armenia with a friend of mine, Pastor Bill Liversich, as he was mentoring me, we've gone through many mission trips together, and this was the country of Armenia, the country where I was born, and my parents at the time were residing there. And we had a meeting for pastors and lay people. We're in the mountains on a lake, Sivan. And as we finished the meetings for pastors, we decided to take a tour all around the country. And one of the visits that we had was the countryside right at the foot of the Mount of Ararat. From that village, you could see the mount covered with snow. Village was very poor, on the very border, close to the border of Turkey. And we were walking on the street. Only one street is paved. This is a narrow street, dirt road. And we passing through this narrow street, and we noticed that a family was working on their backyard in a garden. They saw the strangers. Village knows everybody. These are the two strangers. And they motioned to us to come in. As we entered the gate, they set up quickly the table, fruits and drinks, and invited us to join them. What a hospitality for the strangers. I wish this would be in this country the same. And as they shared with us, a young man laid on us a question. When he found out that we are missionaries to this country, visitors from, Bill was from Australia, I'm from US, even though I was born in Armenia, I'm US citizen by the time. And he asked us a question. Tell me, please, what happens to a person when he dies? I was ready to answer the question. I know what happens to a person when he dies. But Pastor Bill was ahead of me. He stepped in and he answered the question, said to this young man, we will come tomorrow at about this time. We will bring our Bibles. You will have your Bible and we will see what the Word of God says. And as we walked out from there, Pastor Bill shared with me a biblical principle that I never forgotten. He said to me, Grant, never share biblical truth with anybody without first opening the Word of God. Because it will not be your word that will bring conviction, but the Word of God. And sure enough, we came back next day, we brought our Bibles. The young man had his Bible on the table and the whole family around the table waiting for us. And as we led them through the scriptures, what happens to a person when he dies? That young man was broken into tears. And with tears, he was asking us a question, why my church doesn't share this biblical truth with us? And the reason why he was crying, you see, he lost his mother at a very tender age when the kid needed the mother most. And he was told that God had taken her to heaven. What an attitude the kid will have to God, towards God, that he took away his mom from him. And now he discovered the truth about God and about his mother, what the Bible says, and he wanted to know more. Well, there's more to that story, but as we came next year, we decided to visit that family and see what's happening there. because we connected with the mission, gave the address so they can visit, but they never visited them. They have no money for gas to visit in the countryside, the pastors to visit anybody. So, grandmother met us at the gate and saw us, and she embraced us with tears and said, "My grandson always was telling me, I want to go to America. I want to find these people and to get to know more about God." We said, "Where is he?" Oh, with tears, she said, "Just a few months ago, he was at the bus station at night. It was pouring, and a large truck was passing by, didn't see him, and took his life instantly." And we were thinking, you know, God knows the heart of this young man. And I believe with all my heart that this kind of people, the seekers, even though they did not come to the full knowledge, but they are drawn to God, they will be saved. I do believe it. Why do I tell you this story? When I came back to the United States, back home, I was reading the book of Acts of the Apostles. And on page 520, I came across the statement that says, "The Word of God is the truth and the channel through which God manifests His Spirit and power." Amen. With that in mind, I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9. Because I want you to see it from the Word of God. It will not be my word that will do you any good, but the Word of God. This is the story of forgiveness. This is the story of healing. This is the story of restoration. Some of you sitting here today may need forgiveness. Some of you may need healing. Some of you may need restoration. Whatever your need is, God is offering to you tonight through His Word. So when you hear His Word, oh, please, do not harden your heart. Verse 1, Matthew chapter 9, verse 1, it says, "So he got into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own city." On the surface, you could see only what it says, but in my mind's eye, I could see a deeper meaning of what it says. A broader ministry of Jesus. Let me explain it to you, what I can see in this passage. Jesus not only crossed over and came to his own city, Jesus actually crossed over and came to his own. Let me explain this. From the very beginning, between God the Father and God the Son, there is a river of love that flows from one to another. God created a man and placed him into this river of love. Man became an object of God's love. But the enemy of God kidnapped that object of love by injecting sin into human race. We became slaves to sin. Sin paralyzed us. No longer were able to produce righteousness, holiness. Jesus, seeing the condition of his object of love, he came to a rescue. But for that, he had to take upon himself human flesh in order to be qualified to represent us. So he laid aside his divinity, closed himself with humanity. And we actually can say that he did cross over and came to his own, to restore his own, because he could not live with the thought seeing his object of love being enslaved by sin forever. He came to save us from sin. And by the way, salvation, according to Matthew 1:21, when the angel is speaking to Joseph, "She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, Savior. For he will save his people in their sins." How is your Bible reading? "From their sins." Please notice that the word saving, the root word of salvation, it appears in the New Testament in this very passage, Matthew 1:21. First time in the New Testament the word salvation appears right there. And every time you find the word appearing first time in the book of the Bible, it sets the tone and meaning to the word. Based on that, let me give you a radical statement. Salvation is not making to heaven and live there forever. Salvation, according to the Bible, is deliverance from sin. One person agrees with me. Salvation is deliverance from sin. And by the way, have you ever thought why the Bible speaks of salvation in three different tenses? We are saved, past tense. We are being saved, and we will be saved. Have you ever thought why the Bible speaks of salvation in three different tenses? At first I was thinking there's something wrong. But then I understood that I'm missing something here. What helped me to understand and put these things together is the sanctuary message. Every aspect of salvation, past, present, continuous, and future tense, every aspect of salvation is applicable to the every aspect of the sanctuary. Did you know that? Let me illustrate this. We are saved. It's done deal. We are saved from the guilt and punishment of sin. Reference to the cross of Jesus, the courtyard of the sanctuary. We are being saved from the power of sin in our lives. Reference to what? To the holy place. And how is Jesus saving us from sin? From the power of sin? He is giving us the bread of life, which is the Word of God. He's feeding us with the Word of God daily. Some people are not that hungry. They don't need it every day. He is giving us the Holy Spirit. You could find this in the candlestick. And He is interceding for us. This is a magnificent ministry of Jesus on our behalf to save us from the power of sin in our lives. And we will be saved from the very presence of sin in our lives. And I challenge you, dig the sanctuary. It will place in your hands the keys to understand the gospel and the entire scriptures. In fact, it will help you to unlock the book of Revelation. We think that we got it all. If we got it all, then today we would be preaching Revelation as a revelation of Jesus. It will be focused on Jesus, not just on the beast all the time. Revelation, the book of Revelation, is revealing Jesus. And if you apply the sanctuary to the revelation, it will unlock the whole book. By the way, I present these seminars, just the seed, planting of the seed for future, if you'd like to know more about this. So, verse 2. And behold, they brought to him a paralytic, laying on a bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you." Point number one. Now, this is a big one. You must hear it. Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. Now, who is this paralytic? It is me. It is you. It is the entire human race. But in spite of our condition, we are not only His own. Jesus calls us sons and daughters. The word child here, son, is actually an original child that is inclusive for daughters as well. You see, sin had crippled and paralyzed human race. The paralytic was brought into the presence of Jesus, and Jesus says, "Whoever comes to me, I will by no means cast out." So they came to him by faith. And every time people coming to Jesus by faith, something happens. So if you're sitting tonight here by faith, something will happen. Still in verse 2, Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you." One of the big factors that brought the paralytic into the presence of Jesus was the faith of the friends. Do you have friends or loved ones that you wish they would come to God? Maybe it is your son or daughter who is wandering from God for many years now, and you think that they're hopeless because sin paralyzed them and they're no longer able to bring themselves to God. Don't you ever give up on them. No matter what sin has done to them, bring them on hands of prayer, prayer of faith, bring them into the presence of Jesus. We are not to give up even on a hopeless one, because human impossibility, it is God's opportunity. Last night I heard the testimony of a young woman who was telling her story. She went away from God. She was a Seventh-day Adventist, raised as a Seventh-day Adventist. She was fist-fighting with the mother. Imagine, she was hating her mother. And today she is a leader in the church. She said, I don't know how, but God just took all this away, and I love my mother more than I love myself today. This is God's power. Mark relates the same story. In Mark chapter 2, hold on to Matthew 9 and take a look at Mark chapter 2, verse 2, 3, and 4. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door, and he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken through, they let the bed down on which the paralytic was lying. See, the paralytic was brought into the house where Jesus was. And there was no room, not even near the door. Often, there are those who seek Jesus are the ones who prevent the lost to see Jesus. Still happening today. But praise God for the friends who have faith. The story did not end there at the door through which they could not bring their friend into the presence of Jesus. True faith always finds a way. It never gives up. It will never be turned down. A true faith always seeks for the benefits of others. A true faith will always break through. And indeed, they have broken through the roof. I'm sure these kind of encounters are the most satisfying encounters of Jesus, because people were coming to him by faith. Just use your holy imagination now. Imagine that you are present there at that house. Anywhere Jesus goes, he is surrounded by crowd. Jesus gets into the house, it gets packed, and you are right there. Jesus is preaching. By the way, back then, the preacher was sitting and the listeners were standing. A lot of things changed since then, huh? You are in a comfort zone tonight. I have to stand. I don't mind. And as Jesus is preaching, you're hearing his words, suddenly there's a distraction, some noise above you. You look up and you could see something happening above. The pieces of clay falling down, there is a hole in the ceiling, you could see the sky, people walking on the roof, and the hole gets larger and larger. It gets so big, now you could see a bed coming down through the ceiling. What would you say about these people? Huh? In Spanish, how would say it? Loco. They are crazy. This is not even their house. Some of you probably could call the police. But these people were so determined to bring their friend into the presence of Jesus that they were willing to pay the price, even to be ridiculed. So, a as the bed is coming down through the ceiling. This paralytic does not see Jesus at first. You know what he saw at first before he saw Jesus? He was seeing the hands of the friends holding tightly to the ropes that were attached to the bed, and their faces were shining with anticipation of what is about to take place, and that gave boost to the paralytic. So if your hands of faith are not strong enough today to bring your loved ones in prayer into the presence of Jesus, get more hands. Where two or three gather together in my name, Jesus said, I'm in the midst of them. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. So how is your faith today? Did you give up on those for whom you were praying for years? Nothing happened. You gave up. Forgetting the promise given us through the prophet Isaiah. Many promises. This is one of them. Isaiah 49:25. Thus says the Lord, even the captive of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible will be delivered. For I, says the Lord, will contend with him who contends with you, and I will, not might, I will save your children. More about children, their salvation tomorrow, the last session. You don't want to miss that one. It's a powerful tool God has given to us. So, through this encounter, through the story, Jesus wants to teach us never to give up in seeking him and in bringing to him our loved ones, our children, on the hands of prayer, prayer of faith. Looking at the paralytic, catching his pleading eyes, Jesus said to him, Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you. Just like that. See, the paralytic didn't have to become good before he was restored. He was brought to Jesus as he was, and he was restored. Did you realize the same with us? We come to Jesus as we are, realizing our need in him, and we are justified. In other words, declared righteous. We are restored to Jesus. And if you would choose to come to Jesus every day of your life, seeking him, realizing your need in him, realizing your sinfulness, your inability to save yourself, your need in him, he will make you into what he declared you to be. Here's the job description for the Christian. The work of Christian. Come to Jesus every day. That's our work. Come to Jesus every day. Okay? In fact, sanctification. You know what means sanctification? It is daily justification. Where justification takes place? At the courtyard. At the cross. Come to Jesus every day. He who has begun a good work in you, he is faithful to bring it to completion. He who declared you righteous, he will make you into what he declared you to be. I hope you're hearing this. This is the sanctuary message. So, today, Jesus is looking at each one of us, feeling our emotional pain, physical pain, relational pain, whatever the pain may be there in your life, that your choices, your decisions, your sins have brought upon you. He's saying to us with compassion, son, daughter, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. Wow. But according to Hebrews 9:22, there is no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. By saying to the paralytic, to you and to me, your sins are forgiven you, Jesus is making a commitment to go to the cross, where on a cross, my sin and your sin, our guilt, our shame, our judgment, even the second death will be lifted up from us and placed on Jesus, and it will kill him. Every time Jesus is touching the leper, every time Jesus is touching the dead, the coffin, or saying your sins are forgiven you, he is reinforcing the commitment to go to the cross, to shed his precious blood. Now, let me ask you this. Why would Jesus... Is there any way to lower the air conditioner? I mean, to make it a little warmer. Can we? I'm going to lose my voice by tomorrow if we don't. Why would Jesus go through such an agony to go to the cross, the King of the universe, coming down to the pits and then to go to the cross to lose his own existence? Why? Have you ever asked that question yourself? Why would Jesus do it? Well, the answer is very simple. You know why? Yes. Because God the Father and God the Son love you so much that Jesus was willing to lose his own existence to save us. Let me tell you about this love. Tomorrow more will come about this. But today, just a little glimpse of what will come tomorrow. Here's the love of God. In John 17, 23, Jesus is praying to his Father in the presence of his disciples, and he is saying, Father, that they may know that you love them as you love me. Now, let me bring it home by paraphrasing, so you could actually hear what Jesus is saying in his prayer. You ready? Here it comes. God the Father loves you not less than he loves Jesus Christ. Wow. You are shocked, or I lost you. Let me repeat this again, just in case somebody is hearing. Jesus basically is saying that God the Father loves you not less than he loves Jesus Christ. Wow. And in John 15:9, Jesus said, just as much as Father loves me, I love you that much. So you have God the Father who loves you infinitely, and you have Jesus Christ who loves you infinitely. Then Jesus went to the cross, and on the cross he signed with his own blood what he just said. And while being on the cross, he is tempted 3 times, if you are the Son of God, come down from the cross and save yourself. Could Jesus do it? Oh, yes, he could. But could Jesus, by coming down from the cross and saving himself, save us also at the same time? No way. He had to make a choice. And the choice that Jesus made, staying on the cross, should speak loudly to every human heart today. You know what it speaks? Every time you look at the cross, you should hear the last words of Jesus. Never spoken, but his action speaks louder than the words. And here's what it speaks to you tonight. Just the fact that Jesus decided to stay on the cross is speaking to my heart. Grant, I love you more than I love myself. You could put your name there. God loves you more than he loves himself. I know so many Christians that are running away from God every time they make a mistake. Foolish children. The moment you make a mistake, come to Jesus in repentance. How many of you raised children, by the way? When they were little ones, they made a boo. You had to change the pampers and whatever it takes, right? What if they do it again? What would you do? You clean them again? Why? Gotta take care of them, okay. What if they do it like 7 times a day? You still do it. Then the 8th time they did, you just threw them away, right? You got rid of them, right? Some of you did, right? No? Why you didn't? You love them. Then why are we thinking of God less than we think of ourselves as parents? God is a supreme parent. By thinking of God that every time we make a mistake, He is disowning us, this is a blasphemy. We place ourselves higher than God as a parent. That's what we do, unconsciously. God is in the business of salvation. He is wooing our hearts. He is cleansing us. He is longing for us. Every time you make a mistake, come to Him in repentance. He will cleanse you and He will tell you, one day you're going to make it. Just listen to my word. Do what I say. One day you're going to make it. And guess what? The day came, they made it. No booze anymore, right? So, Jesus is saying to you today, your sins are forgiven you. Did you embrace His forgiveness? Or you are still struggling to forgive yourself for the things that you have done in the past? You may be sitting here tonight and thinking to yourself, Grant, you have no idea what I have done in the past. And you're carrying that wretched guilt. You know, I don't care what you have done in the past. I honestly don't care. You know why? Because the blood of Jesus is sufficient to cleanse us from all sins. So if you are struggling to forgive yourself, please hear the words of Jesus. Son, daughter, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. Jesus wants to take that wretched guilt away from you so you could grow into His likeness. Jesus wants you to walk out from the church today free from that guilt. Amen? Maybe you cannot forgive somebody else. Somebody has done something wrong to you, or maybe you have done something wrong. The fight started and you guys cannot forgive each other. And you live in that broken relationship. And no one dares to make a step to restore it. Well, to whom is much forgiven is to forgive much. Did you hear that? So that no advantage will be taken of us by Satan. That's the scripture. 2 Corinthians. God's plan is for us to live at peace with everyone as far as is possible on our side, on our part. So, we are to seek reconciliation with those individuals in our lives, whether it's your fault or not. They may never make that step. It is our responsibility to reconcile with those people in our lives, so the Holy Spirit can freely flow into your life. Don't you want this? And in what condition was the paralytic when he heard the words, your sins are forgiven you? The condition of the paralytic was the condition of the entire human race. It is the condition that Apostle Paul describes in Romans chapter 5, that while we were ungodly, helpless, while we were sinners, while we were enemies of God, God had reconciled us to Himself through the death of His Son. Verse 3 and 4, Matthew 9. And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemes. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? Again, let's see what Mark adds to the picture. Mark chapter 2, verse 7. It says, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus knew their thoughts. This fact should have convicted them. Only God can know the thoughts of man. They should have realized that the Son of Man is the Son of God. They should have realized that they're standing in the presence of their Maker. And what is Jesus calling here? Evil. "Why do you think evil in your heart?" he said. Let me tell you what Jesus calls evil. I want you to hear it, please. Thinking that God cannot forgive your sins, Jesus calls evil. I hope you heard that. That's the meaning. Thinking that God cannot forgive your sins, Jesus calls evil. Verse 5 and 6. "For which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven you, or to say arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power, authority on earth to forgive sins," then he said to the paralytic, "Arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Point number 2. Arise. Arise from being paralyzed by sin into a newness of life. Jesus speaks here not only to the paralytic, but to every human being who is affected by sin. Arise from being dead in sin, from being paralyzed by sin, into a newness of life. Do you believe that Jesus can raise us from the dead? Do you? Then we also must believe that Jesus can give us victory over sin. Jesus not only can forgive us our sins, but he can heal us from sin. And the Creator, Jesus Christ, who spoke, and by his word the universe was created, his word still has power to restore and to recreate. Because Jesus Christ, the Word of God, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, how much of our time are we spending with his Word? The Word of God, the truth and the channel through which God manifests his Spirit and power. If you want to experience the power of God and the Spirit of God in your life, here's what you ought to do. Spend daily time in the Word of God and do what it says. The moment you act upon the Word of God, you can have the assurance that the Holy Spirit is in you. Because it is he who wills and does his good pleasure in you. And the function of the Holy Spirit, according to the Scriptures, Ephesians chapter 3, desire of ages, the impartation of the Holy Spirit is the impartation of the life of Christ. And Christ in you is never attracted to sin. That is such a simple concept of victorious life that even children can understand. Hear the word and act upon it. Period. So, let me give you a couple of my favorite statements from the red books. You know what I mean? I feel sorry for people that disregarding them today. And I know why they do this. You see, when they were young in the church, they probably were bitten by do's and don'ts from those books. Out of context. When they grow up, they want nothing to do with this anymore. Please, don't you ever quote her writings out of the context. Please, do yourself and to your children a favor. Don't do this. If you try to quote something, do it in the context. This person is pro-gospel writer. Okay? Now, let me give you this. It is the study of the Scripture that ennobles, awakens, and develops the faculties of the human mind to its highest potential. Not Andrews University, not Harvard, not Loma Linda. It is the study of the Scriptures that ennobles, awakens, and develops the faculties of the human mind to its highest potential. You want to have the highest education? It's not the Harvard that's going to give it to you. It's the study of the Scriptures. The Word of God is the truth and the channel through which God manifests his Spirit and power. The reason why so many Christians today are powerless, because they do not spend time in the Word of God, or they do not act upon the Word of God. See, when the Pharisees sent to arrest Jesus, the officers went out. They came and Jesus was preaching. They came back without him and they asked the officers, "Why you didn't you bring him?" They said, "No man spoke like this man." You know why? Because no man lived like this man. Jesus Christ lived according to the scriptures, and his words and deeds were filled with power, and that very power, we've been told, is available to us today. Are we taking hold of it? She said that the whole heavenly treasure is awaiting our demand. The whole heavenly power is awaiting for our demand. And yet we never ask for it, never claim it, what is ours. Jesus said, "Greater things than I will you do." And then the other passage says that the disciples is not greater than the teacher, right? But how can you reconcile these things? When Jesus said on one hand that greater thing that you will you do than I, and on the other hand he said the disciple is not greater than the teacher. Let me reconcile this to scriptures. You want it? Do you want to know? You see, Jesus Christ lived sinless life in human flesh. He never sinned, even in a thought. He did great things. You agree with me? He never partook of sin and did great things. We have partaken of sin, in sin. And that same power is available to us. We will be doing the same thing as Jesus did, and yet Jesus will be calling it greater things because we have partaken of sin in sin and we are still doing those things. That's what the heavens will be considering greater things than Jesus did. Because that very power is available to you and to me today. Are we taking hold of it? Listen to this one, Christ Object Lessons, page 28. I hope I'm not putting you to sleep. This is the power load statement. Please hear it. You can write it down. Christ Object Lessons, page 28, one of my favorite statements. It's so profound, must be repeated twice. Listen to this. In every command and in every promise of the Word of God is the power, the very life of God, by which the command may be fulfilled and the promise realized. He who by faith receives the Word of God is receiving the very life and the character of God. Let me spell it out for you. Hear it, please. In every command and in every promise of the Word of God is the power. That power is the very life of God. In every command and in every promise, by which, by the life of God in the command, the promise may be, the command may be fulfilled and the promise realized. He who by faith receives the acts upon the Word of God is receiving the very life and the character of God. Are you striving to obtain the character of God to fit through the pearly gates? How does it work for you? You want a shortcut? There it is. Hear the word and act upon it. Period. Hear the word and act upon it. So it is spending time in the Word of God and believing it, receiving it. And the proof that you believe it, you will act upon it. That is how the life and the character of God is received. And when you do this, two things will take place. Let me tell you what will take place as we go back to the story of the paralytic. Verse 7. And he arose and departed to his house. I hardly can believe what it says. Jesus spoke, he rose, and departed to his house. Wow. Are you hearing what the Bible says? This paralytic acted upon the word of God, and he was restored. It is same with us. As we choose to act upon the word of God, we are restored from the damages of sin. Oh, you don't believe it, huh? As we act upon the word of God, we are restored from the damages of sin. Verse 8. Now when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God who had given such power to man. Point number 3. God is glorified who had given such power to man. What did they see? They saw restored life. Restoration happened through the word of God. The word of God, the truth, and the channel through which God manifests his spirit and power. In my own life, I have experienced the power of God and the spirit of God. At age 20, after graduation from the college, I was drafted to serve in the Russian army. I was raised as an atheist. From the south part of Russia, they took me all the way to Siberia. I don't know if you understand the word of Siberia. Yeah, pretty cold. The climate was so harsh, it ruined my health. After 2 years, I came back home. I was very seriously ill. 93 pounds of weight, 6 years in hospitals. At the end of 6 years, doctors told me to have 1 year to live. And I was an atheist. There was no hope for me. I did not believe in the existence of God. I had no Bible. And at that time, somebody gave me the Bible. As if God stepped in. I cannot explain to you, but while I was sick and laying in the bed in pain, excruciating pain, even medications would take care of pain, out of the mouth of the atheist, the words were coming out, crying to God, save me, I don't want to die, heal me. I was a kid, 22 years old. And God has heard the cry of an atheist. How much more God will hear the prayers and the cries of his children? And you are his children. I began to read the word of God. I believe that there is a God. I began to act upon the principles of the Bible that I could understand. And within 1 year, my health was totally restored. 30 years ago, doctors gave me 1 year to live. They could do nothing. The word of God is the truth and the channel through which God manifests his spirit and power. Hear the word and act upon it. ...40% drop in the Adventist church today in reading and studying the scriptures. No wonder church is growing weak. It's time to wake up. It's time. So what did they see? A restored life. What did they do? They glorified God who had given such power to men. And please notice in your Bible the word man is in plural form. Correct? Why is it in plural? He heals the paralytic. And the word men here is in plural form. Why? Let me tell you why. God, through Jesus Christ, through the word of God that became flesh, gave power, authority to men, M-E-N, man and woman, to have victory over sin. Apostle Paul said, sin shall not have dominion over you. If you let the word of God, Jesus, to abide in you, you are letting his victorious life to be exhibited in you. And God will be glorified. Jesus is standing at the door, and he said, I'm standing at the door and knock. Whoever will open, I will come in. Let me give you a good news of this verse. Jesus Christ already lived in human flesh. Divinity indwelt humanity, and he conquered sin in the flesh. And the reason why Jesus is knocking at the door of our hearts, because Jesus wants to come into your life and mine to repeat the same experience in our lives. Are we letting him to come in? And if we do, is he coming as a visitor or as a resident? This will make all the difference. I mean, all the difference. So, I don't see the clock. So Jesus came to his own. You are not alone in the struggle. I am with you always, he said, even to the very end. Jesus came to forgive, to heal, and to restore his own. And you are his own and precious possession. Even when you were ungodly, helpless, sinners, enemies of God, God had reconciled you to himself through the death of his Son. I don't know how shall I say this. So you actually can take it home, and not only home, but for the rest of your life. Whispering probably can work, huh? Shall I whisper what is coming next? You are loved. You are loved. And it doesn't matter whether you feel it or not. It has nothing to do with your feelings. It has all to do with what took place 2,000 years ago on the cross of Jesus, where God, through that sacrifice, is shouting to every human being, I love you more than I love myself. This is your God. Three points came out today from the Word of God. I could leave it now without mentioning them, or I could give you the chance to respond to the Word of God. Is it okay to give you the chance here in Hillcrest? Is it? Is it safe? Whether it's safe or not, I'll go for it anyway. Point number one. Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. Did you embrace his forgiveness? Or are you still punishing yourself for the things that you have done in the past? You're carrying this wretched guilt. It's pressing down on you. And you are never happy. The devil is always bringing it to your memory, and you find no joy. Is anybody sitting here with that guilt that you cannot overcome? You cannot forgive yourself. Please hear the words of Jesus. Son, daughter, your sins are forgiven you. God wants you to walk out from the church today free from that guilt, so you could truly grow in Christ every day of your life and live a happy life. No matter what took place in the past, there is no sin that can be committed by man or woman that the satisfaction was not made on Calvary. So is anyone sitting here tonight that you cannot overcome that feeling? I'd like to pray for you. So God can roll away that stone of guilt from your shoulders, and you can walk out from the church today without that guilt. If this is you, I'm going to ask you to stand. I want to pray for you. This is not a general call. This is for those people who want to walk away from the church today free from that guilt. Is anyone sitting here today who cannot forgive somebody else? You have people in your life that relationship is broken. And at this time, the Holy Spirit is bringing the names of those individuals to your mind. You know, it is sickening to live that life, have broken relationship. God wants that reconciliation to take place. And believe me, if He is working on your heart today, right now, He is the one that will go ahead of you to work on the heart of the other party. And imagine what's going to take place. Every time there's a reconciliation takes place, you will live a little longer. Did you know that? Because everyone who is harboring in their hearts and minds unforgiving spirit or anger, it inflames your cells and eventually causing the cancer of one of the organs. Why would you need this? Why do you think God is asking us to forgive everyone for our own sake? Maybe if you want to have the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life, you must act upon it as well. Because the moment you forgive someone in your life, you're removing the stone that is blocking the fullness of the Spirit to flow into your life. Don't you want this? And that's what God is planning to do as soon as you act upon this principle of reconciliation. There will be joy in heaven, by the way. The devil will be pushed back, and the standard of God will be pushed forward. There will be joy in heaven as you act upon it. Praise God for those souls who are making that resolution. Point number two. Arise from being paralyzed in sin into a newness of life. Some of you probably sitting here tonight that you know there is something in your life that is not pleasing to God. I'm calling it sin as it is. I'm not paid by the conference. I can do it. You try to overcome it. You tried it over and over again, but you fall back and back. And finally, you give up. And you think the victory is not possible. God is anxious to give you that victory. And His plan is very simple. Very simple. If you're craving for that victory in your life, over whatever it may be, if you want to walk out from the church today, having Christ in you, who will conquer that sin in your life, I'm going to ask you to stand, that God will know that you invite Christ into your life, because Christ is never attracted to sin. And the way that you will be inviting Him every day of your life is hearing the Word and acting upon it. Christ will be indwelling in you permanently, and that will give you victory on a daily basis. Christ in you, the hope of glory. On your own, you could do nothing, but all things are possible with God. This is your desire to walk out from the church today, having victorious Christ in you. God is anxious to come in, for He is standing at the door and knock. And point number three, if you want to glorify God in your life, then you're making a commitment to spend time in the Word of God daily, and not only hear the Word of God, but to act upon it. And the moment you do, the rest is automatic. The Holy Spirit is in you, bringing the very life of Jesus into you, and Christ in you is never attracted to sin. The concept is very simple. Even children can grasp and understand. God doesn't complicate. You don't have to have a theological degree to get this. Let us pray. Gracious, loving Father.